learn.
Okay, tonight's topic. Please, everyone's welcome to get chillin', and everyone's welcome to learn. But at least for now, the schmoozing will have to stop. Tonight's topic is the broader topic focused on the shaila of whether Jews are allowed to enter a church. I actually, surprisingly enough, have gotten this shaila at least five times in the last year or two. Not because people are looking to learn about Christianity so much, as either one of two reasons. Either for people who are going on vacation, and they're interested in seeing the beautiful architecture, which it is. I have one. There was a member of the shul who was in architecture school, so part of the class was that they had to go to a church to study the architecture. People sometimes are there questioned because they have a coworker who passes away and they don't have to go to the funeral. And I've also had two different shilas, two different businessmen in the community who, given their nature of their business, they were bidding for a contract, doing whatever they do, and one of the potential clients would have been a church. So the question was, could they go? So the
does this cover mosque concerts that are given in a local church that I've never gone?
Those I haven't yet been asked about.
Voting,
right? Yes, that's right. I forgot about that. Thank you. I didn't follow up on it. Yes, but about six, 7 months ago, somebody from our shul called me and they said that he was redistrict, or at least the district was changed, and he was supposed to be voting in a church. We even spoke about it. We even spoke about it with the Baltimore Jewish Council. That's right. So that was another. Well, and I'll mention briefly a little bit the shaila of a mosque too. That's correct. So that's my basis. If we have some time, there's some other related questions. For example, can a shul take over a church? I don't know if any of those exist in Baltimore. Usually, Nebuchadnezzar, the history is in the other direction. Many a church is a former shul, which has its own shilas, of course, or Moshe has tshuvas about that. But every now and then you have a shaila of a shul taking over a church. For example, I don't know if there's any in Baltimore, but at least one very notable case in New York, the Young Israel of New Rochelle, a very big and vibrant shul, 400 or 500 families. It's in a former church. In fact, when they needed to do their expansion, they're in the process of building like a $15 million building. But before that, when they just needed to go from like 100 families to a group of 200 families, how did they make more room? Well, the Aron Kodesh, behind the Aron Kodesh, you could actually see something sticking up. I never knew what it was. It was the bagpipes from the former church organ, which they had kept in when they made it into a shul. So when they got rid of it, they were able to push the Aron Kodesh back. They had got 50 more seats. Eventually, they ran out. But if you look at the architecture, you knew right away, when you see it, it doesn't look like a Young Israel or a Shtiebel. It doesn't look anything. It looks like a church on the outside. And that's what's been a shul for almost 20 years already. So that's a shaila.
The Allospark Shul on the Lower East Side, which is
was that a former?
Back in the 1800s, is the oldest.
I didn't know that.
It
was the oldest and beautiful shuls in the country.
Yeah.
I didn't know that. Okay, so that's a shaila. It's not so pushed. You would think, to me, I always thought it was obviously a good thing, and it's not so pushed that it is. But anyway, if we have time, we'll discuss that as well. But the main things I want to talk about are entering a church, and then I guess a related point would be a mosque. Why are we talking about that? This Shabbos parsha is Va'era. So, of course, we know that the highlight of this week's parsha is the Makos. It's the first seven of the ten are in this week's parsha. And the last of those, number seven, is Makas Barad. And after Paro begs for Moshe to, get rid of the Maka, so Moshe says, okay, I have to go speak to Hashem to do it. And the Torah tells us, V'yomrei elav Moshe, Moshe says to Paro, this is right at the end of the parsha, Kitseisi Asa'ir, Efros Es Kapai El Hashem, etc., etc. Hashem, Moshe says, I'm going to go out of the city, I have to leave, Alexandria, whatever the capital city was, and I'll daven outside the city. So why did he have to go outside the city? So Rashi quotes from the Mechilta, Aval b'socha'ir lo hispalel. Moshe would not daven inside the city, b'shahaisa malei glulim, because it was filled with idols. And the implication is that you can't even daven your own davening in a general area where there are idols. A very fascinating idea. There are a lot of mefarshim, both in terms of classical, the Ramban and other classical mefarshim, as well as some of the Hasidic sfarim. There's a very important Shemi Shmuel, for those who are interested, on this, that asks, why is it davka this? Moshe, this is the seventh time Moshe did that. And each time Paro begs him to stop, he has to ask Hashem to stop. This is the only time the Torah tells us, and it's the only time the Medrash says that he said he was going outside. So either there's some unique reason about Barad, or maybe it was always true the Torah didn't tell us, but then why didn't the Torah tell us until now? A lot of interesting discussion in the Mefarshim, which is not our topic. I want to mention just briefly two related issues where you see in Poskim, where they specifically mention this story and this Medrash as a raya in a halachic discussion. So for example, the Trumas Hadeshen, who, depending on how you count, may have been one of the latest Rishonim or one of the earliest Achronim, depends on where you want to draw the line. Tshuvas Hadeshen has the following tshuva. Someone was traveling from city to city, from the old wagon of the traditional travels, and it was getting dark out, and he wasn't yet next to the town, he wasn't yet at the inn where he was going to be staying for the nighttime. The shaila was, should he pull off to the side of the road and daven on the side of the road, which, aside from being potentially dangerous, is not ideal halachically to daven on the side of the road, or should he wait till he gets to the inn, and then he'll daven there? What's the downside of waiting? This is not a mincha marit. This is not a mincha shkia shaila. This is just a question of where to daven. What's the downside of davening at the inn? Because there are pictures, idols, it's not exactly sure, but there's certainly all sorts of ramazim, if not more, of avodah zarah in the inn. This is living in a time of history in Europe, and people were very religious. Europe's not so religious anymore, but there was a time when Europe was very, very religious. Coincidentally enough, anti-Semitic, wouldn't you know, at the same time. And that somehow hasn't changed, even though they've gotten more secular, unfortunately. But nevertheless, the shaila was, would he be allowed to daven? What's the preference? And very surprisingly, at least on the surface, the Shemot Hadeshin starts off by assuming that it would be better to daven on the side of the road. You know, with Pashas, of course it's better to daven in the inn. But he says, no, it's better to daven on the side of the road. He even points out that if it's dangerous, or you're going to steal your stuff, so maybe there's mitigating factors. But he starts off, his main thrust is that he thinks it's really better to daven on the side of the road. Why? Because Raya is from this parsha, from our story. You see that Moshe wouldn't not daven if he was in the proximity of Avodah Zarah. So do you think you're going to be in the proximity of Avodah Zarah in the inn? It's better to daven on the side of the road.
Maybe you're getting to this, but it's a shot that when there are idols around, it's an inappropriate condition, such as, let's say, a soul or something like that.
Yeah,
or talk about a church, the church itself as an entity have a theft of...
I think it's at the very least the first, and it may also be the second. It's a good segue, because the next point that I want to mention specifically frames it in your first formulation. There's a well-known Taz, Simon Kufnan Aleph and Arachayim, who says that you shouldn't have a shul in a room or a building where if above it is something maguna. So he mentions if there's a soa or something. He also seems to say if an akum is living above. Now, this may, especially to the younger people, sound like a ridiculous quiz. Why would there be an akum on top of a shul? But that just means that you're dating yourself. Because there were generations upon generations of shuls which had people living on top of them, including the shul that I grew up in, which had a non-Jewish janitor, and whatever little bit they paid him was mashlim because he also got the apartment above the shul. This is, you know, I don't know too many shuls anymore. It's gone out of style a little bit, I guess, but this was... Meisim b'chol yom. So apparently it wasn't just where I grew up 20 years ago, it was in the time of the Taz, he discusses this, and he's very, very machmir. Nevertheless, not everyone holds like that, and there's arguments back and forth. And one of the people who discusses this is the Avnei Nezer. The Avnei Nezer in the Tshuva quotes our Parsha, quotes our story as a Raya for the Taz, because he discusses, and again, the Taz seems to say this as well, and Avnei Nezer, who was a Chassidus Shirebbe when he wasn't playing Posek Hador, so he was very nervous about this idea of Sinorim. I've mentioned just coincidentally this past week in the Mishnah Berurah here that even though I don't understand how these things work and what they mean exactly, but you certainly have a relatively mainstream Kabbalistic idea of there being these kind of pipelines that communicate when we test Tefillah between us and Shemayim. And in a somewhat serious way, even though I don't understand it, it's like clogging the plumbing. Things can get in the way of these pipelines. And Avnei Nezer says that's exactly the idea of the Taz. And he's Raya is Moshe Rabbeinu. He wouldn't even daven if the Elilim were around him, let alone if they're above him. So that's Mamish being Mafsik between the people and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Just to mention Agav, since I mentioned that so many shuls have such a thing, that seems to be because most poskim disagree with this Taz. The Shaar Tzion already there disagrees in his Mekil. And the Dibri Malkiel, the great Lomzer Gaon, is Mekil. The Shaar Mitzvion of Halacha says nowadays, especially, we can be Mekil because there's a Mesorah, which, again, I'm not sure I understand, but this is quoted in Gemara and in Shulchan Aruch, that nowadays our Goyim aren't real Goyim, by which I mean to say they're not really Avodah Zarah. Just like they're just keeping Machtik Ma'asav Oseh B'Yadayim. Now, we're often familiar with the fact that there are many of the great German poskim, and then, for example, the Chazon Ish and others picked up on it more recently, to speak about Nebuchadnezzar Jews who are so far away from Frumkeit that the first generation were really stark and were Einim Ma'aminim, and there were some halachos, difficult halachos, but halachos that we had to employ with regards to them. But really the second, let alone the third generation and beyond, so those halachos don't longer apply anymore because they're not really stark and kofrim. They don't know better. Nebuchadnezzar, they're just following Ma'aseh Avoseihem B'Yadayhem. So I used to think that that was it's a very big svara, but I thought that was a svara that the Binyan Sion and others were mechadesh. I didn't realize that Taka was said about Goyim hundreds of years before that. Shas already seems to say that, and Shulchan Aruch passes this way, that there are certain leniencies, not that the Hakol Mutter, of course not, but there are certain kulas that we have nowadays with Goyim, which really are based on this assumption that somehow they're not as stark of the Avodah Zarah as, so to speak, they're
Christians or even Buddhists.
There's no way the Shulchan Aruch was talking about Buddhists because they didn't know about Buddhists. So I don't know.
But
presumably it's true in general. Yeah. Although again, it's hard to know. I don't know. You have to get into the mind of an Indian. There's a story. I don't want to get off the topic, but there's a story that there's a from a woman professor from Eretz Yisrael who years ago she had a sabbatical and she was in Memphis, Tennessee, and she wrote up that one of her co-professors was an Indian guy. I don't know if he was a real Indian or he was an Indian American. But Lamaisa, they would like break and she'd go daven mincha, and he had a backpack. He took out a little idol. She said she never we think of Avodah Zarah as like something that happened a long time ago. She said, "Mom, he took out an idol." And then goes davening to it, and this was like this brilliant guy with his PhDs. She said, like, it's just such a shock to see like what seems like real Avodah Zarah. So I don't know. If I would have been there in Memphis, Baruch Hashem, Memphis is blessed with Rav Nata Greenblatt and Rav Ryan Greenblatt. There are people to ask. I don't know, but I would have wondered, how do you apply this halacha and Shulchan Aruch to someone who repeatedly bowed down to an idol, which is not the case in some general sense, at least not in the extreme sense, even to modern-day Christians, although we're going to get to Mirz Hashem shortly, whether they have the status of Avodah Zarah or not. But that's just to mention that there are at least two examples that I know of in Halacha where our story in the Chumash and our Rashi is quoted as a raya, at least by one sad for a particular psak. So with that introduction, so to speak, let's discuss the specific shaila of entering churches, or in general what we see from our parsha, our iser in getting too close to Avodah Zarah. The parsha talks about Moshe davening, but yet obviously Moshe may have went out to daven, whether that one time or always, but the Maaseh Moshe did live there. Moshe was there. Right? And they weren't all in Goshen always. So, nevertheless, they were obviously not in an ideal situation. It wasn't up to them then. But given the fact that hopefully we have more of a freedom, the question is what halachos guide how close we are allowed to be, whether it's during davening or any time, to Avodah Zarah. So it's interesting that there's at least two Gemaras and a Mishnah, really, in one Gemara, and the Sechas Avodah Zarah, which are very significant and really quite far from the life that we actually live in terms of the way they describe the ideal. So, example, the Mishnah in Avodah Zarah and Daf Yud Aleph Amud Beis says very dramatically that you really should never even be, let alone live, let alone get any closer, in a city where they worship Avodah Zarah. You're not allowed to be in a city where they worship Avodah Zarah. And in fact, the Rambam in Perash HaMishnayis in Avodah Zarah dramatically, and this Rambam is quoted by all the poskim, very much spells this out. So I'm going to read it for you. We'll have two comments from this Rambam of Avodah Zarah. And for those of you who are not familiar, this is a three-volume Masada of Kook. This is the Tapach edition of the Perash HaMishnayis. You know, the Rambam didn't write the Perash HaMishnayis in Hebrew. He wrote it in Arabic. So what we have in the back of the Vilna Shas, I don't know who translated it, but it's a relatively poor translation, by which I mean much better than I could have done. But it's not up to snuff. It's not. That Rav Kapach, who was the great Taimani scholar of the Rambam, so he retranslated it directly from the Arabic, and it's a more meduyuk translation. If you really need to paskin something, so to speak, based on the Rambam, it is not reliable to just look in the back of the Vilna Shas. It's just simply irresponsible. You have to look in the Kapach edition. I once had a Chiddush, which I actually published, which one of the key Maror Mekomis was something in the Perash HaMishnayis, and I was too scared to look to see if it would still be true in this one. And that was not a halacha l'maaseh psak, so it was just a shtickle Torah, and I had other rias for it anyway. But I still remember, like, I was like, my Yetzer Hara was mamish had a hold of me. Should I look? Should I not look? But it's clear what I should have done for the Yetzer Tov, and certainly the Paskin, and we're talking halacha l'maaseh now, so you have to see it here. Again, not that it may. One of the reasons why, as well, is because I don't exactly know when and who translated that edition of the Perash HaMishnayis, but it was very sensitive to the censors. So not so much in the paragraph I'm going to read you now, but in another paragraph we'll read shortly, if you take a look in the two editions, you'll see one major difference, is that here he talks about Christians, using them by name, whereas in the one in the back of the Lashas, it doesn't say. It gives you a euphemism, a melitza, which certainly we hope the Goyim didn't understand, and perhaps the average Jew wouldn't have either. So that's why he has a more up-to-date and accurate explanation. So on this Mishnah, says the Rambam, And here again also, I take it back. It wasn't just the first time he does it. Also, in both times, here also, if you look in the Kapach, he will explicitly use the language of Christians, which you wouldn't find in other editions. He says, Sarech Ladas, Shekol Ir, Are Ha'uma Hanotris, if you're living in any Christian city, Sheish Lehem Ba, Bama, if they have some of Avodazara there, Kolom or Beis Tfilosam, they have a church, they have their house of worship there, Shu Beis Avodazara Bli Safek, says the Rambam, a church is definitely a base of Avodazari, Hare Osa Ha'ir Osar Lavorba, Femiskaven, Kol Shekain Lodorba. You can't even intentionally take a trip through that city, let alone live there. Ella, what could we do? He says, Hashem Moser Osana B'yadehem, Baal Korchenu, nevertheless, Nebuch, we live in Europe, we live in Africa, we live in Asia, what are we going to do? Nebuch, we're Anusim, that's the only heter. Lekayim Dvaro, Vavadatim Shem Elokim, etc. The Imkach, Hu Din Ha'ir, Kol Shekain Din Beis Avodazar Atzmo, Shekimat Osir Lir Oso, Kol Shekain, Lekarev Elav, Kalvachomer, Lihikanes Lasocho. Says the Rambam, you really can't even be in a city, let alone their house of worship, let alone to see it, let alone to go into it. Because the truth is, even to be in such a city, says you need a heter to live in such a city that has a church, let alone to go into one, is a major isser, says the Rambam here in Parash HaMishnayis. The tour in Yarday and Simen Kuf Memtes quotes the Rashba, who says something very similar. And in fact, the Shulchan Aruch in Yarday there in Simen Kuf Memtes says that you shouldn't go, if you're going passing through a city and it's one of their holidays and they're having a parade. He's not talking about the actual worship or whatever they do in the church. They're having a parade in the streets in honor of their holiday. So the Rambam on such a day, you shouldn't even go to the city. Another Gemara later in Avodah Zarah and Daf Yud Zayin tells us that you shouldn't get too close to Avodah Zarah based on a pasuk in Mishlei in Perek Hey, and you shouldn't get so close, you should be more merachik from it. So the Shulchan Aruch there in also in Yarday and the next Siman, Siman Kuf Nun, has a nusach where the Shulchan Aruch says it's a mitzvah to stay away lehisrachik dalet amos mi beis Avodah Zarah. And in fact, there are elder yidden who still have such a minhag, where if they're walking down the block and there's a church, they will move away from the side a little bit to have dalet amos. That's a din in Shulchan Aruch. I don't know how many people are nizer in it, but it's a din in Shulchan Aruch, the beginning of Siman Kuf Nun. Just as an aside, before we get to the actual church, so sometimes a big shaila about the parking lot. Can you pull in the parking lot? Sometimes the parking lot is a cut-through, so you can make a shortcut, you can avoid a red light if you go through the parking lot. So what is the status of such a thing? So this didn't have parking lots per se in the time of Shulchan Aruch, but it did have a chotzer, which seems to be identical. Again, it's not the actual house of worship, but it's part of the property of the church. It's known as their church. So this is discussed explicitly by a Ramah in Siman Kuf Memtes, and the Ramah says he has two deos, whether you can just plant yourself in a chotzer, who knows why you want to be there, but it's nothing to do with the worshipping, obviously, but you need to be there, you want to be there. So the Ramah quotes two deos. The second day of the Yeshua Omrim is the Machmir one, and usually based on our Klalei Ramah, that sounds like that's the Iker of the two deos. Nevertheless, if it's an Oved Rachim, says the Ramah, if it's a cut-through, you're going there, so to speak, like a shortcut to get from one place to another, so then he says even the first day is Mekil, even the second day is Mekil, he says Lekuliyama is Mutter to do such a thing, but even then he says it's a Midas Chasidus not to. And I saw one of the contemporary Sfarim who specifically used the Srama and just applied it mila b'mila to parking lots. So that's interesting, so to speak, in its own. Another Maramachim also there from the Gemara of Arizara, which just shows you how dramatic this is. There's a wild Gemara that talks about people walking on the road. They weren't sure where to go. It's getting late. So it was not such a great neighborhood. On the right was the base Zona. And on the left was the base of Arizara. So what do? Right? You're between a rock and a hard place. So I forget who the Amoraim, where the first one says we should go to the Beis Zona and we'll, you know, we'll go to the Beis Avodah Zarah and we won't be tempted as much as we would have if we'd gone to the Beis Zona. And the second Amora says, no, we're going to go to the Beis Zona and we'll close our eyes, hopefully, and not be tempted by that, but better that than walking into to a Beis Avodah Zarah. And the Ritva quotes on this, on the Gemara and Daf Yud Aleph, the Ritva quotes the Gemara, and he says this is all part of the same din. You see how machmir it is to go into a church, or to what they call in there a Beis Avodah Zarah. It's even better to go into a Beis Zona, which needless to say is not recommended on your average day. If the choice is that, now I don't remember, I don't remember if that specific halacha, if one were to find themselves in such a situation, is quoted in Shulchan Aruch. So I'm not asking that, I'm not giving you that as a psak, but it certainly as a Gemara, which the Ritzvah does take very seriously, illustrates how serious the Isser is of going into church. I think someone here had a hand. Was it who went? Just you? Okay, good.
Was that Gemara before or after Chazal were baffled the Yitzhahar for Lizard?
I don't know. I guess after. Is less, right? Less, right? Okay. So that's just Adarava. That makes the Gemara more dramatic. That makes the Gemara even more dramatic because obviously, right? Yeah, the Avodah Zarah. They did right. They didn't keep the bittul of the Avodah Zarah for Znus. Yes. 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 So far, everything we quoted is from Avodah Zarah.
Right.
But Gufa, that shows that that might be the touch, which means that just going in is already the Avera. That's exactly. Yeah? I don't remember it that way. But okay. Doesn't the Gemara talk about having the temptation? I'm saying they're having both sides.
They're stuck.
Right. Okay. Again, the Ritva at least does see in that Gemara a mocker for how usur it is to go into a base of Avodah Zarah. In light of this, the Darche Tshuva, you know, the Darche Tshuva was a Munkacher Dayan who basically wrote a compendium like the Piskei Tshuva, but the Piskei Tshuva stopped when he died. So the Munkacher Dayan was also, the Piskei Tshuva was also from Hungary, but the Munkacher, so he lived more recently, so he added a whole, again, collection of Tshuvas, which were even more recent. So he quotes a Tshuva, though, that's more recent, but I still never heard of. So that's why he quotes a Darche Tshuva, as often is the case, who also quotes us from this halacha, where you see that he's supposed to be Mizrachic, even for Amis. He says, so if that's the case, so Kol Shekein and Kol Shekein, he thinks that's the mucker for the Isser to go into a church. I'll just mention as an aside, we'll get to this when we get to the mosques. I haven't seen his inside, but I haven't even heard it from him Baal Peh, but I've heard from other Talmidim that our personal Shechter thinks that there's a different mucker, or at least an additional, maybe not different, but an additional Isser in going into a church, and that is the pasuk of Al Tefnu El Elilim, which means that you're not, as the Rambam says in Parak Beis of Hachos Avodah Zarah, which means you're not supposed to be, you're not supposed to get yourself mixed up in any type of Avodah Zarah in a way that would, in any way that would perhaps tempt you. Al Tefnu El Elilim, you're not supposed to tempt yourself with these types of things, and he thinks that going into a church is therefore a violation of that. He has an even broader understanding of that Isser, which we'll see when we get to mosques. For sure, yes. That's where something's discussed in the chutzner. That's not what's. It's a bigger problem, as was mentioned before. It's an even bigger problem to go in. It's not just Mar Sinai. Maybe also, if we want to throw the book at you, we'll throw you over on that too, maybe. But you definitely, there's an Isser per se of going in the base of Avodah Zarah. But to be in the chutzner, that's where those who are not from here hold that it's primarily a problem of Mar Sinai. What? No. I'm not saying there's not what to discuss, but I'm not planning on discussing it. The Rambam in the next step is, if that's the case, so we have on the books, there's an Isser to go into a base of Avodah Zarah, even to go close to it, let alone to go in. So our next step in answering the Shaila, if we can go into a church, is a church a base of Avodah Zarah, which is another way of saying, is Christianity Avodah Zarah or not. So we just saw already that the Rambam alluded to in the first thing that I read that Christianity is Avodah Zarah. If you take a look in the Rambam and Machalos Asuros in Perek Yud Aleph in Mishneh Torah and Machalos Asuros in Perek Yud Aleph Lachazayin, that's a well-known Rambam that was censored. So if you look in the standard edition, we have two versions of the Rambam, if you pull off the standard edition, it will not say Christianity. And if you pull off the Frankel edition, they already put it in the original Girsa that does say Christianity. So that was also censored. The Perashat Mishnayos, I read you one. Earlier, right in the beginning of Maseches Avodah Zarah, I'll just read you a second one, or really the first one, where the Rambam says as well, there, this is the halacha about doing business with them on their holidays. So here the Rambam says, Elu ha'idim ha'niskarim ha'im ufursamim ba'otho hazman etzel ha'nosrim. The specific things that we're mentioning here are popular holidays in the time and the places of the Christians, the Hanalavim Malehem, and those that accompany them. Any holiday that's an Avodah Zarah holiday, so if you're living in that time, then you need to know these halachos that the Mishnah speak about in Avodah Zarah for what you can and can't do. And then he adds, and again, this is censored out in the original edition, in the original translations of the Rambam. Veda, Shezuha Uma Hanotris, Hatuanim Tainis Hamashiach, Lekol Shinuyei Kitzuzoseihem. This Christian people that have these hashkafos that they have, kulam ovdei avodah zarah beidehem kulam asurim. The noagin imahim b'chol haTorah kederach shenoagin ovdei avodah zarah yom rishon humechal idehem shel goyim levichach also l'stasek im ma'amini hamashiach yom rishon klal b'shum davar min advarim. It used to be, what were those called, the blue laws? Right, that they wouldn't be open on Sunday. He said, Taka, I'm not here to paskin, but it sounds like you just read this Rambam, it would be also for the Jews to open up on Sunday. If, they, you know, if you have a grocery store, you have akhavetz, you're going to sell soda, let alone if you're going to sell alcohol, so maybe you can't open up on Sunday because they're going to come in and they're buying for their holidays. So that sounds, or, you know, only, you know, it would be the opposite of the old anti-Semitic sign, only Jews allowed on Sundays. That's not so practical, but that's what the Rambam says. I don't mention it here for the Pesach, the Filchus of Avodah Zarah. I mention it just for the Mitzvahs, but the Rambam is very clear, not the only Rishon by any stretch, but the most well-known Rishon who felt very strongly, apparently, that Christianity was Avodah Zarah.
I think all about Christianity.
The whole world is about Christianity. First of all, he lived in Spain before then. It wasn't like a little thing like in some corner of the world. Thing. The whole, I don't want to get distracted from history, but we live in a Christian country and we know about Islam, even before they came here. It wasn't, the Rambam was also a little worldly, but you didn't have to be, trust me, if you would have lived there, if I would have lived there, I'm not so worldly, we would have known about it too.
Because of the Trinity.
Yeah, of course, well that's, it's, they believe in the Bar Olam, we'll get to the concept of Shittah in a minute, but. I don't want to, I'm not learning Masechta Avodah Zarah. That happened to be the context of the Rambam. I don't want to get sidetracked. It's an important topic, Halacha L'maaseh, but I don't want to get sidetracked. That's not my topic now. My topic is going to be churches.
Get stuff for their holidays.
Huh?
Get some stuff for their holidays.
Right, the shaila is that you'll have to sell them neutral things that they may be using. That's a complicated shaila. That's a complicated shaila. Especially since Lifnei Iver, we know, does apply for non-Jews. So it's not a simple shaila. It's not a simple shaila. So the alternative to this Rambam is two things, perhaps. There is a well-known, if difficult to pin down exactly, Shitas HaMe'iri, which comes up in a number of places, which depending on how you understand it, and there's a huge literature more recently on how to understand this Me'iri, but it could very well be that the Me'iri denies that Christianity is Avodah Zarah, b'chalal, even for non-Jews, or for Jews. So I don't want to discuss that Me'iri because it's very hard to understand the Me'iri. If he said it, it's very hard to understand how he could have said it. And if he didn't say it, it's hard to understand what that he did mean because it's a bit of a confusing thing. But a little bit more easy to understand, and since we know that there was hundreds of years where the Me'iri was lost to the Masorah, so you don't have the Shach and others quoting Me'iris. But what you did have them quoting, in contradistinction to this Rambam, is a Shita of Rabbeinu Tam, of all people. Where did that come from? The Gemara Masechet Sanhedrin says you shouldn't have a business partner who isn't Jewish. You know, lots of people either coincidentally have business partners who aren't Jewish, and sometimes people with kavana try to have non-Jewish business partners. But here, the Gemara actually says a halakha that you're not supposed to. Why? Because what if there'll be a sikh between the partners? And what if he'll have to make, he'll want you to take a shavua? So what kind of shavua is going to be meaningful to him? He's going to take you to his courts, and they're going to make you take a shavua, perhaps in some form that would be usur. That's what the Gemara says. So, the Rashbam, quoted by Tosfos, says that you're worried, the Gemara's worried, he's going to make you swear. But Kol Shekein, if you have a taina on him, you can't ask him to swear. Now, if he'll swear in some, you know, with Dinei Hafla, Mesech Nadarim, so what good does that do you? So he doesn't believe in any of it. That's the whole purpose of a Shavua, is hopefully if he believes in the power of it, hopefully it'll get him to tell the truth. So giving him a Hafla Nadarim Shavua is not going to help. If you want him to have a meaningful Shavua, it's going to be a Shavua, presumably, B'Shemu Malchus of his religion. Says the Rashbam, Kofikin, you shouldn't do that because you're getting him to be over Avodah Zarah. That's Shita of the Rashbam. Comes along Rabbeinu Tam and says, no, it's mutter, it's heter gomor to have him take a shvua. And he says, First of all, so you don't have to lose money, because first of all, he points out that they don't really swear on their God, they swear on something else, whether he's referring to a Bible or not, I'm not sure, but it's not their God that they're swearing on. And anyway, he says, it's no longer really Avodah Zarah, it's just Shituf. What is Shituf? So Shituf seems to be, again, it's confusing, because sometimes people understand this Rabbeinu Tam as saying Shituf means it's not Avodah Zarah, period. What it sounds like, perhaps, is either that, or what Shituf means, is that it's a combination. So, I mean, they believe this, Rabbeinu Tam says explicitly, and many poskim we'll see in a moment, who poskim Rabbeinu Tam say as well, that they believe in the Borei Shemayim V'aretz, the same one that we do. No doubt about it. But they're Meshatev. They combine that, they pair that with a belief in some other thing, which you don't have to be a Bucky in the Trinity to know the basics, that they have some form of a partnership between something that really isn't God and a God that we ourselves believe in. So that Shituf, says Rabbeinu Tam, is something not as extreme as, quote, if you will, pure Avodah Zarah. Does he mean it's not Avodah Zarah at all? Or does it just mean it's not Avodah Zarah for non-Jews or not as bad? That's a little bit open to debate. So, for example, in the poskim, if you take a look at the Pisachei Tshuva in Yaradei, he quotes from the Ramah, Yaakov Emdin in the Moru Ketzia, as well as the Shoal Ameshiv, they all assume that Rabbeinu Tam is saying that such a thing, to believe in the Borei Shemayim V'aretz, but to think that somehow he can become, have a partner who was a real-life human, and then that became a partner and the Son of God and all that stuff, so of course it's wrong and it's ridiculous, but that's not Avodah Zarah. That's just not Avodah Zarah. That's something that's just wrong. There's mistakes and there's Avodah Zarah. Not everything that's a mistake is Avodah Zarah. And that's how they understand this.
Where's this Rabbeinu Tam?
Rabbeinu Tam is quoted in Tosfos in Maseches Sanhedrin, Daf Samach Gimel Amud Beis. It's also Tosfos in Bechoros, Daf Beis Amud Beis, and in Megillah on Daf Chav Ches Amud Aleph.
That's why this is going on in Gemara. The Gemara, there's a ton of things like the Rebbeinu Zaka and something like that. It says, the Gemara discusses Rabbeinu Tam constantly.
Right. The notion of Shituf. Right. He didn't invent Shituf. That's right. Correct. He didn't invent the notion. That's right.
So it would not be what they use for the
elevation? Again, not at all the topic, but yes, anything, any halacha that assumes that Christianity, that a religion is an Avodah Zarah, and then there's a therefore, so obviously you have to know if that religion is an Avodah Zarah or not. Again, he's not talking about wine. He's not talking about wine. He's just talking about a shavua. But so we have to have a shir nuchos yain nesach. But if there's a halacha which presupposes Christianity is avodah zara, so it sounds, if you understand Rabbeinu Tam this way, then you would say that the halacha does not apply. Now it is worth noting that the Noda Biyehuda has a very, very well known and powerful tshuva. The Prima Gadim seem, and perhaps even the Archa Shulchan, as well as the Sfas Emes and Chiddush Mabacharos, but it really is most well known from Noda Biyehuda. He thinks that all these other posts can misunderstand Rabbeinu Tam. And without, so to speak, passing between them, the basic debate is that he holds, I think it's a little bit of a chiddush, but he claims that Rabbeinu Tam's position is only le'inyan hu'choshvua. To take a shvua in the name of a shituf for a guy, that's not Avodah Zarah. But that's not the same thing as saying that worshipping it isn't Avodah Zarah. That's how they, so to speak, split the hair of the Rabbeinu Tam. So they don't so much reject Rabbeinu Tam, but they hold that he never meant the way the other poskim understand it.
Is Rabbeinu Tam speaking specifically about Christianity, or is he talking about going generally?
No, he's specific. This is the third time of Christianity. But in Echonami, if you had a different religion that would be categorized as Shituf, then you'd have the same stock. Again, specifically, again, Shituf means that you're not denying the basic Borei Olam, but you mix in with that definition and that belief other things which are...
Gemara is the one that brings the beginning of the Shiva. They weren't talking about Christianity in the Gemara. Or was the Gemara itself talking about Christianity?
Well, maybe. I don't know. That's itself a question. But again, it's not limited to Christianity. It doesn't have to be limited. It's a general concept.
Whoever holds that kind of Shiva.
If you had that combination, no pun intended. Just to give you a sense, by the way, where that may be relevant, I saw a very interesting idea from the Torah Tamima in his commentary on Megillus Rus. He points out, the Gemara Masechet Yevamos fills in the blanks of the story of Rus coming back to Eretz Yisrael, and it says that Naomi reminded her, if you're going to become a Gioreth, you're going to have to reject the Avodah Zarah. The Alzeh Nemra says the Gemara that Rus said, Elokayach Elokai, the famous Pesukim from Megillah, that your God is my God. So Frek the Marsha, that Gemara in Yevamos, What do you mean? That because she's going to become a convert, she has to reject Avodah Zarah. Non-Jews also are also to worship Avodah Zarah. The Rif has another question a little bit on that Gemara, which is a variation. The Marsha's question is very clean and easy to understand. So what's the answer? So Taras Mima says you can answer it based on the simple understanding of Rabbeinu Tam. She was telling her, Shituf may be mutter for you now as a non-Jew. But if you'll become a Jew, then that'll also be usher for you. Whether it be usher as a Avodah Zarah, not left to get to. But it'll be usher for you for sure. A Jew can't worship Christianity. And there, even if it's not a Avodah Zarah, you still can't do it. So that's an interesting taich. Again, just I thought it was cute. And I don't know if that's true. That's a good Shavu Mitzvah Shaila. I thought that they're chayiv. I think that they're chayiv. I'll just give you a raya. I've quoted many times the Rav Moshe's tshuva on prayer in public schools. We asked Rav Moshe, what should the Jewish community's feeling be about prayer in public school? So he actually was supportive. Obama Trebe was very famous for being pushing that. Most of the Jewish community, needless to say, has disagreed with them. Most of the from community, but it's certainly the non-from community. But Rav Moshe has a tshuva where he points, in that context, Rav Moshe says that goyim are chayiv to daven be'es tsara. Since when they have to hold like the Ramban. So he says beautifully, and this could be, it's also touching the Ramban, but he definitely says, to daven or not to daven an eis tzara is a litmus test in your emuna. Right? The Rav Moshe held of the theory of no atheist in a foxhole. It's in a tshuva, mamish. So he says, if you don't daven be eis tzara, then that's a chisaron in emuna. I think that would be a riot that he assumes that they have to have a belief. But you have to take, I haven't seen that tshuva in a while, inside. Lamaisa, you have that machlokas, and as I said, there are those, especially Beshita Sami'iri, or even a little bit in the Sermon of Tom, who do try to, so to speak, split and say perhaps for Jews and non-Jews there's different definitions of the Avodah Zarah. Perhaps there's a more makel definition, and this Tartamima fits into that. Perhaps for non-Jews it's not a Avodah Zarah, but for Jews it is a Avodah Zarah. That would be a compromised position. But Lamaisa, everyone seems to agree that what they are is what we would call some kind of a Shituf, because I think... Despite all the different denominations of Christianity, I think one thing is clear, they all believe in the same Borei Olam we do. It's just that they believe in this other thing, which may or may not upschlug, if you will, or invalidate their original belief in God.
Unitarians.
Okay, I don't know enough.
Yeah. Is the Shita in Islam?
No, but there may be other problems in Islam. We're going to get to it. So, in light of all this, you may have the Mi'iri, you may have Rabbeinu Tam, but you have the Rambam and others who disagree. So, Lamaisa, if you take a look in the Poskim, it seems like most Poskim hold that, at least the earlier Poskim, that Christianity is Avodah Zarah, and therefore that churches can be categorized as a base Avodah Zarah. I'll just give you a few of the Maror Mekaymis. Some of the earlier tshuvas are the tshuvas Pri Hasada, Chelk Beis, Simen Dalid, the Munkacher, the Minchas Aluzer has a tshuva like this. The Binyan Sion, Yaakov Etlinger, has a tshuva which is very interesting, where he also suggests maybe Shituf is an Avodah Zarah for non-Jews, but he says it's definitely Avodah Zarah for Jews, and therefore for us it would have the din of a base Avodah Zarah. And more recently, the Igros Moshe has a tshuva, very short actually, where he thinks also Davar Poshut, that it's usher for a Jew to go into a church. And in fact, the Chavadash, Rav Avi Yosef, and Chelik Dalid also says that he thinks Rova Poskim are like the Rambam against Rabbeinu Tam. However you understand Rabbeinu Tam, it doesn't matter because that's only a miut. Most Rishonim hold that it isn't Avodah Zarah. Just to,
the presence or absence of icons then is irrelevant.
It seems to be relevant for some of the other halachos, like this thing like when they're on top of the shul and things like that. But correct, to distinguish between Presbyterians and Catholics, if I imagine where you're going, it could be that it's worse, but Presbyterians aren't good enough. And it's the belief, assuming that they believe in the Trinity, which I think they do, the fact that they manifest it less obviously than the Catholics, I don't think matters. Yes, so that's I alluded to that a little bit in the chutzner idea, and yes, it happens to be that many of the people who have asked me the shailas, I have given them a heterim. It's not ideal, and you know, no one would recommend going there for fun, but assuming that you stay out of the actual sanctuary, there are poskim who are mekel, Malcolm Hefsid, or other types of things. I've mentioned it, people. Lamashal, the Maisa, we had such a shaila about the voting. The person called me months before November. I can't remember sometime in the summer. I called the Baltimore Jewish Council, and they basically told me that it's impossible to fight. There's no chance. There's nothing to talk about. If you don't want to vote, don't vote. But there's nothing to talk about. And I spoke about it with some of the other Rabbanim, and I believe pretty much is universally, I told them either, if you think ahead of time, get an absentee ballot. And worst comes to worst, it's mutter. Worst comes to worst, it's mutter. I've had, as I said, two or three people who've had businesses putting in the phone lines, perhaps, in the offices of the church, where I told them that our computer systems, where we've been makel, but under no circumstances that I know of are poskim makel to go into the sanctuary. And I'm talking even if it's empty. Kavachomer, ben berosha kavachomer, if they were actually in the middle of services. Just to mention two little points before we get to the mosques. The Prihasada has a tshuva which is very relevant, again, for a lot of people, whether it's co-workers is something that could apply even to you and me, but famous Jews have a different kind of a problem, or prominent Jews, which is what if that when some very well-known person or politician dies? So the Prihasada has that as his tshuva. And apparently, I don't know if they were rabbonim or not, but certainly many balabatim who are using that as a svara to say, mitnei eva, if we don't go to the mayor, the governor, the president's funeral, it's going to be terrible for us, etc. And the Prihasada is with fire. It's a nice svara, but it's not. It just don't work. It's an issur d'oraisa to go in. Therefore, even if ne'eva is not going to be making, he specifically talks about it. I remember I think it was for Reagan's funeral. I think it was. Tzvi Friedman could have gone to the thing in the National Cathedral. He didn't call me, but he called he told me after the fact that he called Rav David Cohen, who answered it for him. And I said, just in case you're wondering, I would have done the same thing. I said, don't have buyer's regret. I would have told you it's Usr also. And just to show you, Ad Kedei Kach, from the Usr Lehisrachik Levod Azara, I'll just mention that there was a well-known psak, which I told people in shul when it came to Reagan's funeral. I didn't think about it for Gerald Ford, but the stomach would have been true for him too. But it was well-known from JFK's funeral. There was Soloveitchik held, not only was it also to go to the funeral, everyone knew, that was the first one, I think, in modern times, but now it's all given, that whenever a president dies, they have the funeral on TV. So he held that it was usher to watch. It's usher to watch a religious ceremony. That's, again, it's not exactly our topic, because we're talking even if they're not in service, it's just to walk in the building. But to actually watch, he held that the funeral, it was a religious funeral, it wasn't just for show in a church, it was a religious funeral. Just like we have religious services, they do. The difference is we're not allowed to look at theirs. And he held it was usher, al-tefne al-ilim, he held it was usher even to watch that funeral, and I've told the same thing to people more recently.
John,
you asked outside.
Oh,
okay, good. Oh, was that on Shabbos? Okay, so people like it, that's not a bad thing to do. That's very diplomatic. People who are in a position such as him are sometimes put in very difficult positions. That's one of the reasons I'll never run for public office. Because you can't be a politician and not go in. Even if you're not going to campaign in them, and as a Republican, I would never have any need to. Only Democrats go into the black churches. But some, you have to go to all these funerals, right? Lieberman has to go to all these. And I don't know if he's asking Shilas or not, but it's impossible not to. So I'd rather become a rabbi then. I didn't see any. Again, maybe somebody passing from such a kula. I'm not saying that. I'm just telling you, every postgig I just read for you, Rav Moshe, Rav Avadja, and all the earlier ones, are all Oser. All Oser. If you hold a Benetam Shabbos, if you hold a bit of time Shabbos, maybe then you can hold a bit of time for this. I'm just kidding. I don't know. Lamaisa, they all this. If you take a look in the Darach, aside from some of these Rav Avadja who quotes his Priyasada, also it's from in the name of a different tshuva, but it's the same ideas in that Darach tshuva, which is an easier safer to get a hold of. So if you look at the Darach tshuva, I'll tell you again, that was in Simon. The Darach tshuva was in Simon Kufnun. In the Darach tshuva, he has the same idea. See if his lashon helps you.
Just going to a wedding, not in a church.
You mean a non-Jewish religious service?
Yes.
Yeah, I would not. I would not.
Why?
Because you're not supposed to be a witness to non-Jewish religious services. You could go maybe to wish a Mazel Tov afterwards. But I think to be present at a religious service is a problem. Maybe you'll get lucky. Maybe they're secular. Which may not be good for them, but it's better for us. Okay. Just to mention quickly the issue of mosques. So the Tzitz Eliezer has a tshuva in Chelek Yudalid, where he writes that a famous tour guide in Eretz Yisrael asked him also the shailas related to the tours. And he says that the great Sfardish Posek Rav Shlomo Menahar, who then I guess is Shlita, but I believe now is Atzal, has said to me, the tour guide, in your name, Rav Waldenberg, that you hold as usher for me even to take people into mosques. Is that true or not? So after the whole tshuva he writes about churches, he then gets into the mosque shaila. He says, yes, it's true. Yes, it's true, I do hold that way. But what's interesting to me, and he had years to write a new tshuva, what did he write, 22 volumes in the end? This is a Chelek Yudalid. He bases it on a Chedusha Haran in Masech Sanhedrin. The Chedusha Haran, actually, I didn't bring the Lashon. No, I did not. I do have it. You have to listen to this Lashon, but I'm going to turn off the tape. The Ran says the following.
You never know who's going to listen to this.
Okay. So Tzitz Eliezer quotes from the Ran that it's also to go into a mosque, because he assumes that it's the base of Avodah Zarah, but it's not clear to me that is correct in Mitzvah. And in fact, there is a contemporary American posuk who's been living in Eretz Yisrael for many years named Rav Feinhandel. He's written some English books, not about halacha, more popular about Shidduchim and things like this. But he has a form called Avnei Yashbei. It's a Hilchos Tefillah, and he has some tshuvos. And he has a psak, his own psak, which he says he confirmed with a Gaon Echad Shlita, which I'm pretty sure means Rav Eliashiv, who's not there going into mosques. I assume he means not during services, and nor do I know if Rav Yashiv encouraged such behavior. But Lamaisa, he says there explicitly that it's mutter, explicitly that it's mutter, because it's not a Bayesh al Avodah Zarah. So I'll just close with, the last thing I'll mention is on this Rav Yashiv, I know for sure Rav Shechter disagrees. Rav Shechter is machmir, because he holds that the main isra for going into anything is al tifnu al elilim, which he understands is not just elilim meaning avodah zarah, anything that's contradicting an alternative or a competing god, a chalila to kadosh baruch hu avodah zarah. He says anything that's against the yud gimel ikarim. So Islam, and this the Rambam already tells us, the downside, if you will, aside from the fact that they want to kill everybody, but the downside to Avodah Zarah, even if they would be nice to us, there's still a downside theologically, which is their machish, a different one, even if they're not of the Avodah Zarah, their machish, a different one of the Yudgim Lekarim, and that is that Moshe is Adon HaNaviim, because they believe that Muhammad surpassed Moshe as a Navi. So he held, or Shechter has these two Yisodos, one on top of the other, equals a major Chumrah, which is that he holds that to go into any place that denies the uniqueness of Moshe Rabbeinu, anything Islam, is already an Isra D'Oraisa, even if it's not a Avodah Zarah, because they are Machkish, a different one of the Yudgim Lekarim. And in fact, we had the child of one of our members who was going to Turkey not long ago, and apparently she even emailed me a picture so that I should see. There's some super duper world famous mosque in Turkey, which is the most beautiful, biggest, wonderful, and she wanted to go, and I told her no. Now maybe I should have been Makel for her based on Rav Yashiv, but I wasn't a Talmud of his. I was Machmir. Okay, good Shabbos to everybody.
How about that trip in,